on today's Compassion Radio.
I mean, we should have been shot so many times trying to help people. This is just a miracle.
And David, you have been shot.
I have been shot. Yes, I have been. That was trying to help another Iraqi when the ISIS, a group of them, turned the corner on us from about 7 yards. They closed us in five, shooting the whole time. They shot him five times, me once, but I got the guy out of there. I didn't do it alone. There was God in there with me. And, yeah, but I'm fine. It's a small wound.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
From the back streets of Baghdad to your own backyard, we're tracking the new thing God is doing in the very hot spots we read about daily in our news feeds. And in the case of today's program, from the very front lines of faith. Thanks for tuning in to Compassion Radio. Friend, you're about to hear one of the most intense interviews we've ever presented here. It first aired in June of last year. It's the firsthand account of a brother and warrior who's literally putting his life on the line to rescue and minister to civilians who are being hunted down by ISIS forces. Friends, let us pray. Here's Bram.
On the line with me right now from Mosul, Iraq, in the middle of a firefight, as we lead up to the end of the battle for Mosul, I have with me David Eubank of the Free Burma Rangers. The words do not suffice to describe the kind of ministry and passion this man has for Christ in the middle of the world's toughest places. And we're hearing from him right now. David, how are you?
I'm fine because God sent Jesus to forgive my sins. Because of people like you and others that pray. He also gave me an amazing wife and kids. I've got a really good team for Burma here at the front lines trying to help the Iraqi soldiers and civilians fleeing. So I feel good.
Amen to that.
Yes. I've got tanks moving up on me. Our tanks, so they're friendly. But we're just rolling into something. I tell you what, can I pray real quick?
Go for it.
Lord Jesus, thanks for Bram. And I think we better just take this time. And if it stops, we'll try again. And Lord, ask that you're glorified through this. And Lord, I got a decision to make this morning. I lifted four brams. Should I stay a couple more days past my planning or continue out? Ask for that direction and whatever Bram needs. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I'm walking and I may have to turn off the phone.
I understand, sir.
They're getting ready to launch an attack. So go ahead.
Now, you've made worldwide news in the past couple of days and CNN has run you around the clock. So tell us a little bit about the kind of work you're doing that's so unique right now in the war zone.
Well, right now, first, I'm just going to pray. Lord Jesus, help me say what's glorifying to you, and thank you for this program and all who listen, and may we all get closer to you. And bless the Iraqis, Lord. Oh, I have to add, and Lord, help my country, America, love the Iraqis even more. And thank you for their love for us. Amen.
Amen to that.
Yeah. So what we're doing is we're, any way we can, trying to be ambassadors for Jesus. We work right where the fighting is to help wounded Iraqi soldiers or civilians who are shot. And that may sometimes mean we have to go into ISIS territory to try to get some people who are trapped out. That only happens with God's help and what I think are complete miracles. And then my wife and kids are with me as well. They're a little behind. They're usually about half a mile behind us where it's not usually direct fire and where displaced people are congregating. And my wife and kids give them water and food, also help out a little mobile military clinic. So it's a family operation, but at the very front are some ethnic medics from Burma, from our Free Burma Ranger teams there, treating people. And then behind us is my family and other volunteers shuttling wounded and helping the people who got out of the kill zones.
Now, as you speak to me right now, you're on the march. Where are you advancing in Mosul right now?
We're getting ready to move. We're in Mosul. The unit I was with tried to take the hospital by the first bridge last week. Lost 20 people in the first 4 hours and six dead right in front of me. Actually, some of them were killed. I tried to help one guy and had to run through fire and I got to him, but he was dead. Couldn't help. It felt horrible. We couldn't go that way. So they changed positions and went another way. And then when that happened, we went the other way. We started discovering all these trapped civilians trying to run from ISIS and getting shot in the streets. And that's where that rescue that CNN covered came from. That was only possible by God's grace, by prayer, by the Americans coordinating with the Iraqis and giving smoke, and the Iraqis giving us one tank we could run behind. And that was total miracle to save that little girl and another man. And then the next day we got 5 more out plus 2 more, 7. Another miracle. Just miracle on miracle. I want to tell all the listeners, in your own life, there's going to be impossible things that you think, there's no way. But if we stop and say, Lord, show us your way. Not my way, but your way. Lord, show us your way. For any situation, nothing is impossible. And I had many thoughts about things that were impossible. But I gave that up and said, Lord, you do it. And he did it. So right now we're getting ready to push another angle to take more ground. But every time we take ground, civilians are set free, which is good, but then ISIS shoots them. So please pray that as we advance today, the civilians won't get shot and we can help them.
I know we're praying in response. We'll get this on the air as soon as possible. But friends, as you're hearing this program, this battle goes on. So in situations very similar to what you're hearing right now of David Eubank with his Free Burma Rangers at the front lines with the Iraqi troops, this continues. And his wife and family are behind the front lines, help to nourish and to care for those who are wounded in the middle of the crossfire. So continue to pray for what they're doing, please. Now, David, I got to ask the obvious question that will be circulating around Christians. What in the world, besides your stated objective here, are you doing at the front line?
Well, I think that's where the need is greatest. That's where we feel God has called us. Then, you know, that's the main reason, is spiritual. It's where God has us. And the front line is both a spiritual battle, which we cannot fight, but Jesus does, and we get behind it. It's a physical battle that the Iraqis and Americans are fighting, and we're helping any way we can. So that's the spiritual reason, which is the main one, the leading one. And then there's the intellectual reason. Oppression's wrong. When you see a little kid trapped in the street getting shot, if you're not, there's no way you can save him. No, you can't save someone from the back. When the house is burning down, you can't save them across the street. You've got to go into the house, maybe get burned, to save them. So that's where I believe Christians need to be. I mean, we need to be where God calls us. Some of us in the front running into the fire, some of us providing the water in the back. There's a place for all of us in God's kingdom, but there has to be people going into the battle. That's the intellectual reason. And the heart reason is I love these people, and God put that love in me. I love them. And when I see fathers crying for their kids that were shot, and then the last reason is physical. I've been a climber, and, you know, my whole life. I was a Special Forces Ranger officer. I thank God that our government prepared me and gave me some experiences that helped me to understand the situation and do something. And I like to do something.
And you have the marketable skills to make a difference right now. Now, you're probably about the only Christian I know that is acting out in literal fashion, not just Daniel in the lion's den, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego marching into the fiery furnace. So you represent the entire kingdom of God right now, my friend. And that's why we're praying for you. Because you are literally, as you said, bringing Jesus to the heart of the battle. And you say it's a spiritual one. So tell me, David, when you are in the middle of a firefight and rescuing people in the name of Jesus, what kind of breakthroughs are you seeing, spiritually speaking, about these principalities and powers? And how do you want us to be praying for you as you advance through the streets?
Well, the very first breakthrough I've seen is the general that I work with and other officers in the Iraqi army that said, you are following Jesus. We see you're doing God's work. It's the most important thing. We see God in you. We see you're following Jesus, and we want to know Jesus more. That's the first breakthrough I see. And even before that, my own heart, you know, the Iraqis were our enemies. I did not respect them or love them. That's wrong, but it's true. I love them now. I learned how lovable they are, how brave they are, and you know, they loved me first. They loved me first. And they're so gracious. They've been beat up a lot, and they're so gracious and loving to us. So that's the first spiritual change in my own heart. Second is in their heart as they become open to God's gift of Jesus. And they say it. I mean, of course I talk about it, but they say it. Then the next breakthrough I see, I mean, we were going through on one of the rescues. We had to go through an ISIS-controlled building. It was a Pepsi factory full of empty cans. And we had to be quiet. You could hear ISIS talking near us. And if they found us in there, well, there were only 7 of us going to rescue 5 people that were shot in the streets. We were going a back way. And there was no way to go any other way. But if there's 200 of them with heavy weapons and everything, if they knew we're in a building in the middle of their area, they just slaughter us.
Yeah.
And I remember we're creeping quietly, and we came to an area of the destroyed Pepsi factory we had to cut through. That was the only cover we could get. And there's 1,000 empty soda cans, 10,000 empty soda cans. We had to walk over. And I stopped and prayed. But you know what? This isn't just a time to say, Lord, help me. It's, Lord, how do I pray? And I just felt from God. I heard scripture come to me, and then from God, use the name of Jesus offensively. In Jesus' name, Satan, step out of the way. Your demons step out of the way. I think you won't hear us. We're going to make it through in Jesus' name. And we crunch, 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 made a ton of noise going across these 10 cans. It was like a comedy. It never hurt us, and we got everybody out. And the next day, they attacked and killed 15 soldiers in that same factory.
Wow. We talk about blinding the enemy. I'd never heard about deafening them.
Well, that's what was needed. And, you know, life is full of tragedies, and we pray to God and healing for our daughter, our son, our loved ones, and our loved ones die. So we know that just because we pray doesn't mean it'll happen. We don't know God's ways.
That's true.
But he doesn't ask us to know his ways. He asks us to have faith in him, to follow him. And so to be bold in the things of Jesus, to be humble in the things of ourselves. And whoever listens to this, please pray for that humility part, because without it, we're useless. So I've seen the power of God blind the enemy. I mean, we should have been shot so many times trying to help people. It's just a miracle.
And David, you have been shot.
I have been shot. Yes, I have been. That was trying to help another Iraqi when the ISIS, a group of them turned the corner on us from about 7 yards. They closed it in five, shooting the whole time. They shot him five times, me once, but I got the guy out of there. I didn't do it alone. There was God in there with me. And yeah, but I'm fine. It's a small wound.
Okay, so tell me about that next miracle. You were just about to jump into a new one.
Well, another miracle to me, people may not say it is, but when we got ready to do one of the rescues, the open highway where ISIS had anti-aircraft guns in the press to ground mode, had anti-tank systems, heavy machine guns, light machine guns, snipers, they'd blown up armored vehicles. You could not go anywhere near it. The only chance we had is if the U.S. would drop smoke and if the Iraqis would send a tank to help and a bulldozer. Mm-hmm. Well, the Iraqis said, no way for bulldozer or any vehicle. We can't risk them. But the miracle to me, the Iraqis and the Americans are working very well together, and they both need our American support.
Good news.
American troops on the ground, even though they're not fighting, but they're behind the Iraqis. The Iraqis are fighting, and it's a great partnership. But to me, the miracle was in the middle of a battle where the Iraqis were focused elsewhere trying to defeat ISIS and then suddenly had to pay some attention to how to save these civilians, which they want to do, but you don't have 10 arms. You can't do 10 things at once. And their own soldiers are dying as they're engaging ISIS. How do we do this? And the Americans are trying to support a huge battle here with many units. So the miracle to me is that the Americans and Iraqis, in the middle of all the important battles they were fighting, could, with like one finger, still organize a joint smoke screen and tank movement that was perfect in execution. Perfect execution. You know, and then us running behind with no communications, but it all worked together. To me, that was a miracle. We hadn't rehearsed together, we hadn't worked together, and it was synchronized with the Americans and Iraqis working together to put the smoke in, the Iraqis giving us a tank, and us falling behind it. And we got out. Now, one of my guys was shot, but through the calf, through and through, and he's already recovering. But no one of us were killed. We got the baby out and one man. So that's a miracle to me. I think the biggest miracle to me is Jesus in my own heart changing my heart.
Yes.
Jesus in the Iraqi hearts changing their hearts to love us. You know, some of them really hate us for the things that America's done a lot of great things to Iraq. We also killed a lot of Iraqis. And the ones who lost their loved ones, they don't think about anything else.
Yeah,
but they come to me and say, we forgive you. We love you. That's a miracle. And these are the eternal things.
You're listening to Bram Florian speaking to an amazing brother in Christ, David Eubank, who, as you can clearly hear, is walking in the front lines of faith as we speak. If you'd like to hear more programs like this on Compassion Radio, or if you have a suggestion for a show topic, or would simply like to ask for prayer for something you may be going through, just give us a call. You can reach us at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Or find us online at CompassionRadio.com, and we'll be posting the very podcast of this program today so that you can share with as many as you possibly can so that we can keep this situation in earnest prayer. Let's get back now to Bram with David Eubank.
You know, when we save someone's life or give them food, that's crucial and important. It's God's will. But we're going to die one day. Love is eternal. And
yes.
So we have love and forgiveness and reconciliation. Friend said to me, reconciliation is where the rubber meets the road in Christianity. And that's true. But that's a spiritual event. You can't will yourself to do that. And I've seen that miracle for Americans and Iraqis reconciled. And I've also had ISIS families come to me crying and thanking us. I know they're ISIS families, and they're crying and thanking us. I've seen a miracle of Iraqi soldiers not shooting ISIS people that had just been shooting at them. And that's a miracle. And that's the only hope for this country.
David, you've talked about love, forgiveness, and reconciliation. You're talking about the Table of Peace. I can't imagine us thinking back in 2003 that someone like you would be walking through the streets of Mosul, arm in arm, shoulder to shoulder with Iraqi soldiers to rescue their country. It's a new world, and it's something only God could create.
Yeah, it's a new world, and it's God's way. And you know what I've seen about our American soldiers here? First of all, the airstrikes are phenomenal and so careful. Yes, some civilians have been killed, which is tragic forever. But the American military has taken pains. It's like it's their own children on the streets.
Yes.
And I've seen a humility among our general officers towards the Iraqis, a real servant attitude.
Wow.
Which is what's needed. It's so impressive to me. There's wonderful generals here, General Richardson, General Ifant, for that General Bileski, General Gillen, General Odom. All these generals that I know, which is only some of many, have just been noble men who care about the people and act in humility and restraint. And at the same time, unleash power when it's needed. And I've just been so impressed, and I want the Americans to know how great a force they have here. Not great just because we got weapons, no. Because we care. Because they care.
And thank God that you can care now. And this, I believe, comes straight from the heart of God, that in the midst of all of this hell on earth, that he's literally resurrecting kingdom love.
That's
and
right.
You, as I said earlier in this program, you are the vanguard for the entire body of Christ. And we are praying for you every step of the way. Do you have time as you continue this journey today, David, to talk about Shaheen and the others that have laid down their lives for Christ along the way with you?
I've got to go pretty soon. We'll talk about Shaheen right now.
Please do.
All right. Well, Shaheen was our interpreter for 3 years. When I first met him, he would not go anywhere near a firefight, anywhere near the battle. And one time I needed to go down, not to fight or get in a fight, but just to help people close to the fight. And I said, Shaheen, we got to go help your people. And he said, no, I'm not going down there. I'll get killed. I said, Shaheen, they're your people. You've been complaining about Americans not helping, and now I'm here to help, and you won't go to help your own people. And I prayed how to talk to him, and I finally just felt this. I said, you know, you can see in your heart if this is of God or not, but I believe God wants you to go, not just to help people, but your own soul. And I said, let's pray, and I prayed, and he said, okay, I'm going. Well, since then, he's been a stalwart at the front with me all the time. First, he said, you know, the Arabs and Kurds had done him wrong and his Yazidi people wrong for centuries. And he didn't like either of them.
Mm-hmm.
But 1 year of working together, he told me, Dave, my heart's changed. God changed my heart. I love the Arabs. I love the Kurds. But never thought that's possible. Now I want to help them. And the day he was shot, we were giving medical care, and Shaheen's not a medic, but he did what he could. He shielded his wounded soldier from the sun with his body and cradled his Iraqi soldier in his arms. The same Iraqi soldier he couldn't stand before because of the persecution of Yazidi. He said, yes, these are my brothers. Well, we heard civilians have been shot. There was a woman shot, a daughter shot, a father shot, rolling around screaming, another daughter running around. We pulled the Humvee in front of us, got another Humvee, took out the mother and daughter. Then father into our Humvee along with the daughter, but then she was shot in the eye right there, and the father was shot in my arms as we loaded the Humvee. Shot probably 30, 50, 40 times, I don't know, until it wouldn't move. It rolled downhill. We had bullets coming inside the Humvee. We were stuck. They're shooting at us from three sides. Mohammed, the driver of the Humvee, who had just become a follower of Jesus on Easter this year, ran out of the Humvee under fire, got another Humvee, drove down to us. But we didn't know that ISIS was now all around us except for one side. It come behind us. And Mohammed pulled the Humvee, what he thought was the remaining one side that was safe. Shaheen stepped out to get the girl and the father out of the back of our Humvee. And my medic, slowly from Burma, stepped out. Slowly was shot three times, but it just hit his equipment. Shaheen was shot in the stomach, hit the ground. Mohammed grabbed Shaheen, drug him to the second Humvee. Mohammed was shot six times doing that, but drove him out to a casualty collection point. They were both life flighters to Baghdad. Meanwhile, we were still back in the Humvee. We couldn't move. We had the critically injured girl and father screaming and thrashing in the back while slowly our medic and Sky, one of my volunteers, kept working on him. Finally, Iraqi sent us a tank, drove down next to us, blasted away at the ISIS positions and gave us cover. And that was just the beginning. We had many, many more civilians killed that day, many more Iraqis killed and wounded. And that was just the first day of that battle. It was May the 4th. And this battle went on to right now. This is June the 9th. Then 10 days after that, an infection came up and he died. He lived a great life to help us and others, and he died saving a little girl and her father. And that is not a waste. It's not a waste. It's sad, but it's not a waste.
It's not.
And we've lost many friends since then. I lost my best Iraqi friend, Colonel Faraz, just 2 weeks ago, shot right in front of me as he was saving his own people. And my very close friend, Lieutenant Hussein, is not dead, but shot five times right next to me, literally. That's when I was shot. And so we've lost a lot of wonderful friends.
You said that these friends were not wasted, that their sacrifice is worthy of heaven. I believe that with you, friend.
Yes, it's not a waste. It's tragic. We can live well with sorrow. We cannot live well with shame.
Hmm.
So there was no shame. There was only honor in what they did. And things that are truly precious in this world are eternal. The love they gave, the sacrifice they gave, are eternally true. And their souls are eternal. Their life, like mine, is temporary. And it's tragic, and it makes us cry when we lose each other at a young age. Actually, any time. We cry for them. We know that they've done something eternally good that has shifted the balance of power towards God's kingdom, which will come on this earth as it is in heaven one day. And we're part of that until it comes. And it's going to be coming, not by power, but by God's Spirit. And we follow that.
And he says that in his own voice. Thus says the Lord. We are praying those very things, that God will speak over you, and he will sing over you as you march forward with him, like Jehoshaphat and his musicians, advancing before the enemy to do the spiritual battle first and win that battle so the other battles make sense. God, protect our dear friend Dave Eubank and his whole family as they literally lay down their lives for you, for the sake of the gospel, not just to save people from the bullets of the enemy, but to save people for eternity, and save those who would be considered enemies of the kingdom just days ago. Lord, put him in the place where he can win many more ISIS and many more Iraqi and other soldiers that have been against or angry at you for years. Use him. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. That was good prayer right in the middle of shooting. Thank you.
I hear that.
As you prayed, the shots that came over me were Iraqi-friendly shots shooting at ISIS. Keep giving us cover, so thank you.
Oh, good Lord.
Such thing as friendly shots. But anyway, thanks for your prayers.
Bless your friend.
And I would like to pray this prayer.
Please do.
Lord Jesus, thanks for Bram and all believers that pray. And I pray right now how to pray for ISIS, Father, how to pray. Those are your people, too. Mm. They're your children. They've chose to follow the devil.
Mm.
And it's horrible. So, Lord, I don't even know how to pray, and the battle's way too big for me to say anything that is not of you. So please, Father, guide me and all of us how to pray for ISIS. And right now, I pray they're stopped in Jesus' name. I pray that at least some hearts would change to follow you and protect us until then in Jesus' name and liberate the people. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Dave Eubank, you are a genuine hero of grand proportions, but it's because you are so willing to humble yourself before a mighty God that makes you a hero to us.
Thank you very much. God bless you. Love you.
Wow, Bram. I knew a report from the front lines of Mosul will be exciting radio, but I wasn't expecting that. What's your takeaway from it?
Yeah, thanks for asking, Jimmy. I don't think there's ever been a Compassion Radio program like the one you've just heard. We say constantly that we're a front lines kind of media ministry, that we take you there. Well, today truly was a front lines program in every sense of the word. What kind of person can God use to advance his kingdom in impossible circumstances? Well, as you've heard, Dave Eubank is that man. And he's literally put his family on the altar. They're all willing, living sacrifices. We recorded our interview between midnight and 1 a.m. Central Time Friday morning, and I can tell you that it's radically changed my prayer life in the days since. There's an urgency to it like I don't think I've ever had before. Jimmy, Jesus is winning people to his family left and right in Mosul right now because his witness saddled up and went straight into the battle. You heard him say it. David's Christ love is for everyone, the Iraqi friends with whom he fights, the Yazidis so long persecuted, the Kurds denied dignity in a homeland, and yes, even ISIS, deluded into serving the devil. Jim, I've never met a man like David Eubank. We need to pray for him constantly. But here's another thought. I know that there are thousands of God-fearing, intrepid souls with his spirit out there, and they're also on the front lines of faith. And at Compassion Radio, we're tracking down those stories as fast as we can. But friends, we can't do it without your help. And every good soldier needs good equipment, right, Jimmy?
Oh, no question about it.
Well, please tell our partners how they can supply the right ammunition this month. And friends, thank you for standing with us through your prayers and giving as we stand with incredible heroes of the faith like David Eubank and the Free Burma Rangers.
Thanks again, Bram. What an amazing interview today. Friends, we certainly do thank the Lord for you, especially those who support this ministry. We don't know what kind of resources are going to come in month to month. We have no way to orchestrate that. We really are at the discretion of God and the Holy Spirit, prompting the hearts of people and their faithful response. This isn't a business. This is a ministry. If the Lord chooses to bring more, we have more. If He chooses, for whatever reason, to bring in less, we have less. But it seems in the end, God has continually laid upon the hearts of faithful people what we need. For your gift this month, we'd love to send you the first part of a new companion study to an upcoming series on the book of Ecclesiastes. It's available in PDF format by email or printed and mailed. Ask for your Section 1 today by calling 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. By mail, contact us at Compassion Radio, Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And, of course, you can find us online safe and secure at CompassionRadio.com. I'm Jim Governale. On behalf of Bram, Cher, and the entire Compassion Radio team, have a wonderful day in the Lord. And we'll see you again next time with more Compassion Radio.